The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. A couple minutes after 7, Mariah Rossi. Mariah, you're the one that got this whole books and school thing started when you got in touch with State Representative Dwayne Junker, and then he ends up reading these books that you were concerned about. And he was gaveled down several times about it. And what do you think about them passing Senate Bill 1098? Which would make it even harder to challenge these books.
It's such a travesty, and it's really just a blatant lie that people are discriminating against protected classes and removing these books. There's already a Supreme Court case that says you can't discriminate, remove books for that type of reason. So you can't do it based on themes or anything like that. The only loopholes were excessively vulgar or educationally inappropriate. So we're just trying to remove excessively vulgar material from the school.
And yeah, material that was so vulgar that Noah Robinson was not permitted to distribute it on the Senate floor without redacting it severely.
And yet these good senators still think that we need to subject our children to it. They're too delicate to have to witness this information, but it's okay for a 14-year-old or maybe a 12-year-old to read these books.
What part of these inappropriate books in school, Mariah, aren't grooming? What parts, if any? It has to be grooming. It has to be some people who are trying to push an agenda, right?
I absolutely think it's grooming. Yep, I 100% agree. They want to indoctrinate our kids into their religion of sexuality, whatever perversity that form takes on. So it's awful.
Something tells me you're probably going to continue this fight, though. I don't see you backing down.
No, I'm still going to continue the fight. I still would like to try to at least rewrite the selection criteria. So, if it's excessively sexual, then hopefully it doesn't make it into the schools. It may be harder to get the stuff that it's already there out.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is it's really important for anyone listening that you cannot trust your schools. I know so many of us think, my little local school, I know so many people there, they would never do something like this. It doesn't mean the state or someone else is not strong-arming them into doing this.
Appreciate your call, and thank you for your work on this, Mariah. Be well, okay?
Thanks, Bill.
Very welcome. 5 after 7, we'll check Town Hall News now. More of your calls coming up on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Boy, I have to tell you, those books, big pebble for a lot of parents.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Wisconsin voters heading to the polls today in a closely watched election for a seat on the state Supreme Court, which has national implications for the future of President Trump's legislative agenda. Former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel is the conservative candidate for the Supreme Court.
My opponent went out and promised she was going to engage in congressional map redistricting, which would result in, she said, 2 Republican congressional seats turning Democrat. That's the danger, because you take out 2 Republican congressional districts and suddenly now you have at the national level, President Trump doesn't have any majority behind him. They see a great opportunity to change not just Wisconsin politics, but American politics.
Well, polling places in Wisconsin will be open until 7 p.m. local time tonight. Spending in the hotly contested Supreme Court race expected to exceed $100 million. There are 2 congressional races being decided today in Florida. In the 6th district, voters will fill the seat left vacant when Republican Michael Waltz took the job of Trump National Security Advisor. And in the 1st congressional district, the seat that was held by Republican Matt Gaetz is up for grabs. President Trump says the U.S. has been ripped off by its trading partners for way too long. And that's about to end.
The president has dubbed Wednesday Liberation Day. It's when he will raise U.S. tariffs to match what other countries charge. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
He's doing this in the best interest of the American worker.
Businesses are unsure what the tariffs' impact will be. The stock market has tumbled over the past few weeks, and Goldman Sachs raised its forecast for inflation. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The powerful storms that hammered the South and the upper Midwest are blamed for at least a half dozen deaths, including 3 children in Michigan. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down 270 points. The Nasdaq is off 34. More on these stories at townhall.com.
7 minutes after 7, it's open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Always an enjoyable time. People share their concerns and maybe some solutions here too. Hello, David. How are you this morning? Talking about the books in school, inappropriate, and they're paid for by taxpayers. And now it looks like the state of Oregon wants to make it next to impossible for parents to challenge this. What do you think about that?
I think the whole thing's silly. I'll tell you why. If your kid's in a public school, you've already accepted that out of the 30 children in your child's class, the topic of the day is generally going to be the worst thing that the kid from the least discerning family has seen on their parents' phone or TV. So if your child's in public school, right, that is already what you've accepted that your child's going to be exposed to, you know, and this is the problem that's already faced us. You know, if you remember back to school, you remember the topic at school is always what the most extreme thing in pop culture, you know, whatever the children have seen in their family's home or from their peers, which is so extreme already, right? That's what's being talked about with your kid on the playground. So if your kid is still in public school in the year 2025, I'm sorry, you should just quit wasting your energy on these uphill battles on these books.
You know, there's a part of me that agrees with you, and there's a part of me that disagrees. Because and I agree with you and I disagree, and here's why. Because we're forced to pay for this right now, and so we all have a dog in this fight. And you're right, though. For the most part, I think most people are still kind of, how do I put it, enamored with, oh, the yellow school bus and fine memories of an education maybe 40 years ago or 30 years ago. I don't know, right? You know what I'm getting at here, David? And it is a completely improper view of where it is right now. And there are other people, I think, that are just saying, hey, I'm broke. I'm already working. We're already working two jobs. I can't afford to do the homeschooling and keep the kids at home. And so they just kind of sacrifice their kid to Moloch, I guess.
You're 100% right. Yeah. See, and even after all this outrage about these books, guess what? The kids are still going to go to the school. Now, you're right. You know, that maybe people need the state to be their babysitter. And there's a lot of things, you know, with our standard of living and inflation and both parents got to work. And I see those things. But there are many, many creative options around community schooling and just the notion of government schooling and the notion of how early kids need to go to school. All people need to, if you want your kids to have a fighting chance to start their life as healthy adults or at least start it earlier, you need to reevaluate all those standards you were handed. Maybe the age kids go to school, maybe what type of bills you have that require both people to work at the pace they do, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you what, I will live under a tent before I let my children read books written by pedophiles. Like, I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm not going to yell about it and send them to school on Monday. Like, that's my line in the sand. Like, I will live in a tent before my children hang out with pedophiles all day.
All right. And let me give you a real American salute. I think that's you're striking at the core of it there, David. Appreciate the call. All right. Thanks for that. All right. 770-5633. That's pretty hardcore, isn't it? Yeah. Looking at the price of gold, what's its hardcore message today? Wow. $3,132 an ounce. And just a week or two ago, it had just crossed $3,000. Yeah, it could be a lot of instability, could be a lot of war, who knows? Some people are saying that, well, you know, maybe this is because stocks are not looking good, and so they're piling into gold. I don't know. Could be a lot of things. But maybe you're looking at $31.32 for an ounce of gold and going, woohoo, I've got some scrap gold. What do I do? Take it to J. Austin & Company Gold and Silver Buyers. Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. If you're looking to free up some cash, boy, they are more than happy to help you out. Good people, one of my oldest sponsors here. Now, I'm looking at gold at $31.30, and I'm taking the other side of that trade. I'm sort of like, gosh, you know, the big money's piling in. Maybe there's a good reason to have some of that wealth protection. Are we entering that kind of a time? I don't know. Your mileage may vary. Talk to your financial advisor, but then talk to Jay Austin. They'll help you either side of this trade. 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. FortuneReserve.com.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well water services to your home and business from field to faucet. Our drilling team will construct your water well, and our technicians at Siskiyou Pump Service can take it from there with pump installation, water filtration systems, and installation of a holding tank if needed. Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company are here for you with complete well water services from field to faucet. Serving the Rogue Valley for over 50 years. Visit us at siskiyoupump.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
Morning Weather is sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
For the Rogue Valley, clouds, rain, and snow will remain in the forecast today through Wednesday morning, then will dry out and warm back up. Today, rain's likely. Snow at 2,500 feet, high of 52. Tonight, more rain, low of 36. And tomorrow, chance of morning showers, then some clearing, high of 53. This is Kevin Lawless for NBC 5 News, your place.
Up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Remember, they're trying to clean out the deep state. Like, for example, CIA, intelligence community, FBI, restore it to its former greatness, stop the weaponization of justice. Let's start with that. DOGE would be another massive undertaking. Then another massive undertaking would be deporting known terrorists in the country, cartel members, gang members, murderers, and rapists. These are all big undertakings. Turning the economy around and getting it done through reconciliation, whether it's peace in Europe, peace in the Middle East, energy dominance, there's not one thing that I'm mentioning here that is not transformational, but is also not a very heavy lift for this White House.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's all you hear about, but how far away is it? And what are the potential threats from AI that could totally upend the way Americans live their lives? What will it do to the job market? What will the unemployment rate be? What does it mean for data privacy or cybersecurity? How about the banking system or national security? The ECB has already warned about a bubble in AI stocks. Could this spread to other sectors? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, this may not be the time to wait and find out. Learn how you could help protect your life savings using precious metals like gold and silver. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. One more time, visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
Quarter after seven, it's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. A lot of pebbles in people's shoes this morning. And a lot of it, the passage of Senate Bill 1089. And what this has done is likely going to, assuming this will end up passing the House, could be making it next to impossible to have any kind of standard on a book in public schools. They're not able to read the books in the Senate or on the State House floor because they're too dirty and disgusting, but they're perfect for your 12-year-old. I know. This is bizarre. Yeah, let me go to Francine. Francine, I feel like I'm waking up in clown world again, but this is Oregon. It's good to have you on. What are you thinking today, huh?
Well, the hypocrisy is astounding. It's over the top.
Yeah, that they will gavel people down. This is inappropriate. And yeah, you're voting to keep it in the schools. All right.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill. How do you think people would feel if they get a ballot comes out, and it's got measure, blah, 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 measure, blah, 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 you know, and it says, this is about such and such. That's all. That's all you get to know, because it's inappropriate to share this information with the public. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's essentially the tactics that they're using, and it's just it's horrendous. It's just absolutely horrendous.
So are we looking at a state legislature controlled by perverts and groomers? I hate to put it. I mean, I know it's a kind of a crude way of looking at it, but I can't help but think that that might be what's going on here, ultimately.
Okay, I can't think of his name at the moment. I really like him, but I can't think of it. The guy from New Zealand who did the film in 2016 when Hillary was running called The Enemies Within.
Oh.
Trevor
Loudon. Yeah, Trevor Loudon.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever watch that film?
No, I did not watch that.
I strongly advise it. I know it's almost 10 years old now, but what it exposed to us are all the people in the federal government that are either members of or heavily associated with organizations such as the Communist Party, the Muslim Brotherhood, the blah, 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 socialists, et cetera, et cetera. And there were over 80-something of the people working in our government that were members or, as I said, heavily associated with these organizations. So that's just one aspect of the infiltration that our government has experienced. So now, this whole thing with, Diddy and Epstein and everything, all that was just a show. It's just a show.
So in other words, Diddy is sacrificed to cover the sins of the multitudes of others, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, the child trafficking and grooming and blah blah blah, all that is astronomical. The what actually goes on is so deep and so filthy, and it's been going on for so long. And people don't even have a clue, Bill. That's what this is all about. This is just they're feeling so brazen now that they're just coming right out and just destroying our children right in front of our eyes.
Under the guise of non-discrimination. Yeah, okay, got it. Appreciate your call. Thank you, Francine. Let me go to Not-So-Crazy Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hey, hello there.
How are you?
I'm just calling because I heard a rumor about Iran's having a lot of trouble with their centrifuges over there. They're just running out of control because of a virus.
Now, there was something like that happened a number of years ago in which it was pretty well known that, Stuxnet virus, I think, was used a number of years ago. I would imagine that something similar is working now unless they have air-gapped these centrifuges. What do you think?
Well, I just think if you can build one virus, you can build a better one later.
Yeah. Might be easier just to build a big bunker buster bomb.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to have one when everything starts blowing up over there.
Yeah, something tells me that might be the next international shoe to drop. Just saying, it's sort of a spidey sense, but we'll see, Gene. All righty?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hello, Line 4. Good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is Vicky from the Applegate.
Hi, Vicky. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking yesterday about mental health and the homeless.
Yes.
And my take on that is there's legitimate people that are born with mental illnesses that range from ADHD to autism to, just all kinds of stuff. And the homeless, at one point, before they got all filled up with fentanyl and heroin and crank and whatever else is alcohol, these people didn't have, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that a lot of these people didn't have mental health issues. Something in their life happened, and they turned to
some trauma, some sort of massive pain entered their life,
and,
right?
You know, the thing is that they're so quick to, not my experience, but I know people that have had issues, and they're so quick to want to send them to Portland to the state mental hospital. So why do we have living zombies walking around that are screaming at their big gulp cup or terrorizing people in parking lots or... why don't they send them to a state hospital?
Because the state hospital doesn't have a lot of room, honestly.
Well, they need to build on a floor. If they can build wings onto Asante and have, Providence's popping up all over the place, why don't they invest in a place where they can actually take these people off the street, give them a bed, give them meds. You know, I don't understand why it's so normal now to drive through town and see these people that are either passed out on the side of the road or just crazy.
I think you're talking about a couple of problems all coming together. First off, and I had mentioned this earlier, and Oregon Public Broadcasting has a great piece today, opb.org, about the challenges of committing people in Oregon because the standards are on forced mental treatment make it very difficult to get somebody in and get them some help, all right? Makes it very difficult because it's really designed around imminent harm. You have to say that you are going to, you know, I'm making it obvious that you're going to kill yourself like tonight, you know.
Right.
And there is discussion that the legislature might need to tighten up these standards or relax these standards to say, oh, let's say within the next 30 days, there's a possibility this person could do themselves in, all right, or cause harm to others, et cetera. That is part of it. The second part of it, and I just hate to bring it up, it's the age-old part of money. Mental health treatment is some of the most expensive treatment that we have in the United States of America. I remember there was a relative of mine by marriage on the other side of the family, in which an elderly person ended up truly going a bubble off plum and was serious. And the conversation was, yeah, we can get her into a facility. And I think it was $9,000 to $10,000 a month. And, you know, you didn't have it.
And that's something that there's so many government programs for, like, I was listening to not Lars Larson, the other guy.
Hannity?
Pags,
okay.
And, you know, there's so many government programs out there. I mean, it's it's not free for everybody because we pay for these programs, but they're not utilizing it. And all they want to do is give people pills. Pills. Oh, here's a magic pill that's going to make you feel better.
That's something that Dr. Carol Lieberman ended up bringing up. You know, she's the psychiatrist that I talk to every now and then. In fact, I might bring her back in. She said that, in her belief, she's talking her book because she's a psychiatrist, right? And so she talks to people and tries to get problems talked out with people. And
if they're mentally, I mean, obviously alcohol and drugs change your whole mindset.
Well, what I was getting at here, I didn't get a chance to complete my thought there, Vicky.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. That we sell counseling short shrift, and so we always default over to the pill first.
Right.
Rather than someone is suffering real pain, and that a pill is not going to fix the real pain that needs to be explored and talked out and worked with that human touch rather than the chemical touch on the brain.
Well, and I think that's the majority of it, is that a lot of these people obviously had trauma in their childhood or early on and were never in a position or had anyone help them work through it, realize, you know, most of the time it's not your fault if you're a child and you go through trauma, whether it's family, whether it's being abused sexually or whatever. They never get to the core. I had a niece that committed suicide. She was a heroin addict. She was 27 when she passed, and she had a lot of child trauma. We, as a family, tried to come together and help her through some of these issues, but when they're so damaged and they don't get the help they need in the beginning, it's almost impossible to go back and have them talk about it, have them work through it, have them deal with it. They just don't know how, and they don't want to visit that pain. So if the person is just adamant about not wanting to go there, how do you help them? You can't.
Unless you're going to get to the point where, like the Trump administration talking about, if you want housing, you're going to have some treatment here. That comes with it its own set of problems. Like what you just mentioned, the default treatment these days is let's get you on a mind-altering drug, some psychological medicine, which may have some serious side effects. So
exactly,
these are big questions here, and I wish I had an answer. But I know the one reason that we don't send more people to the state hospitals that there just isn't room. Okay, I appreciate the call. Thank you for that, Vicky. Let me go to line two. You're up next on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Good morning.
Bill, I had trouble calling. Sorry, this is Oliva Herrera from Rural Grants Pass.
Well, hi there.
I had trouble calling there about the books. I just wanted to get back to that.
Sure.
You know, the people that are pushing these things in the schools, you know, are the same people that voted for things like, you know, transgender surgeries for kids and, abortions for kids, you know, that up to 10, you know, at any age, you know, like 10 years old and stuff. This legislative session has been filled with so many bad bills. You know, I wonder, you know, how much more the people are going to take. I'm one of those people that have read some of these books, you know, like Mariah and a few others. And I feel mentally raped from having read some of this stuff.
And to think that your taxpayer dollars pay for it and then it's just thrown out there on the shelf for the kids.
Hmm. Right. But, I mean, at what point, you know, are the people of Oregon going to, you know, end up in some type of civil war over all these bad, nasty, in-our-face bills?
I would remind you, Olivia, that once again, the Republicans really do hold one power on this one. And until the Republicans that are not willing to walk out are held accountable, and this would be the David Brock Smiths or the Dick Andersons and all these other people. I worked so hard to become a senator. All you can really do is stop the worst abuses of the Democrats as a Republican. That's all you can do. But until they are persuaded by their constituents that there are worse things awaiting them if they don't withdraw quorum and stop them from working on this kind of stuff and getting them to focus on stuff that matters, I don't know where you go on that.
I don't either. I just know that we're dealing with this stuff at the local level as well. You know, up until recently, the local superintendent had transgender pronouns in his email, you know, signatures. And we have, you know, executive staff wearing transgender, you know, flags on their, you know, lanyards in these school board meetings. And we know who we're up against.
Maybe we're up against the same kind of thing where I was saying that you have to get your kids out to save them. And you continue to fight within that system to try to save all the other kids, I guess, over time. It's all you can do. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, Olivia. 729-770-5633. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. A lot of pebbles this morning, that's for sure.
The Oregon court has deemed Measure 114 constitutional. Good Guys Guns is ordering firearms and magazines daily. If you call and don't get an answer, they are on the phone helping customers. Keep calling or stop by the shop. Good Guys Guns will get you whatever you need before the deadline. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearms leader, located at 4934 Cradle Lake Avenue in Medford. Good Guys Guns.
If you really want to enjoy your open-air spaces, talk to American Industrial Door. They're an authorized dealer for Tira Screen Systems. From porches, patios, and gazebos to restaurant seating areas to warehouses, these custom-made motorized screens and vinyl panels are a permanent solution to keep pest, wind, and rain out so you can enjoy outdoor environments in peace. Go see all the possibilities DuraScreen Systems have to offer at American Industrial Door, with showrooms on Union Avenue in Grants Pass and Crater Lake Avenue north of Vilas Road.
Thanks, Jan. I'm out here on location looking at a roof that needs to be replaced. Here's your future weather forecast if you have a roof like this one. Brought to you by our new sponsor, Fontana Roofing. And they're right on time. Nice ladder.
What?
Eventually, you can expect heavy showers causing leaks, creating an interior water feature you neither anticipated or desired. Nickel-sized hail may develop, causing severe damage to the granules. And high winds are also possible, sending shingles airborne, like throwing stars hurled by a dangerous ninja.
What?
Also expect relentless heat waves, further deteriorating the roofing material. Protection from the elements starts by calling Fontana Roofing.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, but I like him.
Well, he needs to get off the roof.
Maybe he can do play-by-play on our expert roof replacement. How about it?
Yeah, sure. I'm better at sports. But first, a word from our sponsor, Fontana Roofing. Visit them at FontanaRoofingServices.com.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED.
And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
So good to have you here as we talk about the issues of the day on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Like I said, just so many of them, especially that Senate Bill 1098. That is really something, making it next to impossible for parents to challenge. Now, it hasn't passed the House yet. It hasn't been signed into law. But if the Democrats want it and the Republicans aren't willing to stop them, then Democrats will likely get this. Now, it was blocked last time around, but last time around, though, there were people willing to walk. I don't know. Let me do some emails of the day about this and other issues that have been coming in here. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. That's at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. You'll find Dr. Steve. He's on Freeman Way. It's right next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. And they have a program there if you don't have dental. I am your dental mental. No, in all seriousness, dental program there, which works a lot like dental insurance, but it pays out better, better benefits, and lower costs. I think you might like it. Find out more at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Jeff writes me about the school exposure bill. Like you, I agreed and disagreed with David, who called a few minutes ago about the books. However, the difference between then and now is the acceptance in our day. There was a shame associated with what is now being pushed as acceptable and fear of getting caught. It established what is the social norm. The new norm is a debauchery that will lead to a swift and eventual violent end, not to mention the spiritual implications. A very good point. Patrick weighs in on the books. Call these people who are allowed this material, who are allowing this material in schools, for what they are: pedophiles and rapos. There can be no other explanation for giving minors pornography of any kind except for the purpose of grooming minors for sexual purposes. If these people were not public employees, they would be arrested and jailed. Are they willing to overturn and expunge the criminal records of those who have been charged with contributing to the delinquency of minors? That's interesting, Patrick. And he also adds on the homelessness condition. Says, Bill, one has to be careful in writing that fine line between empathy and enablement. Very well said, Patrick. I appreciate that. You go to Dale on the laws. It says, morning, Bill. The more laws and regulations enacted, the more we become a lawless culture. The questions of types of reading in school libraries easily solved by eliminating school libraries. That may eventually lead to eliminating schools as they are today or are becoming. Those who can't regulate or control themselves are the ones who are enacting what we must live under as we try to obey the government. That includes the black robes, who have somehow lost the concept of good judgment. Just another bite out of the forbidden fruit, exile for all eternity. And let me go to, the Reverend David LaBarbera about the books in school. Bill, what if we were to start donating all kinds of Christian books for kids in the schools? I just heard Senator Robinson say it would be hard for them to reject books donated. We could flood school libraries with Christian content. Just a thought. You know something, David? Is there a possibility that the only standard that the Oregon Department of Education may have to keep a book out might be that it's a Christian book because of religious themes? I don't know. But I like your idea. I really do. Granny talks about the judges. Bill, it's a quote from Samuel Adams. It is in the interest of tyrants to reduce the people to ignorance and vice, for they cannot live in any country where virtue and knowledge prevail. And then Granny adds, wouldn't it be wonderful if the voting population had a working knowledge of the Constitution and could tell activist judges you're out of order? One more time and you're off the bench. Granny's pipe dream. Yeah, a fella can dream, a Goyle can dream, right, Granny? I do like that. And also, I had one more email. Let me find this. I had an email from, here it is. An email from Betty that I wanted to make sure and join it. I lost it and had to do where she wanted the homelessness camp to go. Betty, I'm going to find that over the break. Maybe I'll get that when I talk with Herman, okay? We'll get some other stuff coming up. All right. We're going to hold the calls here for a little bit. State Senator Herman Bertschiger, former state senator. We're going to talk a bit about the judges and more and why these election for judges matter.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. After a judge put the brakes on the city of Grants Pass homeless plan again, Grants Pass Mayor Clint Scherf says the community is concerned about public safety and lawlessness associated with the homeless and pledges action by the city council. Now, how remains a question. The Grants Pass City Council has a meeting scheduled for this Wednesday. They'll look at how to deal with the latest roadblock. As federal funding cuts to the USDA start to go into effect this month, local food banks are preparing. The USDA announced a termination of two COVID-era funding initiatives for food banks nationwide. The Josephine County Food Bank serves about 21,000 people a month. They hope donations will help fill what they believe will be a 20% decrease in food purchases. The state of emergency in Burns and Harney County continues with much of that area flooded. Rapid snowmelt is blamed, exacerbated by recent rainfall. The state is mobilizing manpower to help. Bill London, KMED.
Take the Long Way Home was one of four hit singles off Supertramp's 1979 album Breakfast in America. If you find yourself losing your sanity and taking the long way home because of growing cracks in your ceilings and walls, give Millett Construction a call for a free estimate to fix the damage and correct your foundation problem. Stop thinking you never see what you want to see because your home used to be so nice. With Millett's help, it can be again. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
You're worried because your home has been on the market with no success. An expired listing can be frustrating, but it doesn't have to be the end of your journey. Hey, it's Lars. What you need is the right real estate agent. And in the Medford area, that would be only my friend Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty. Jared specializes in turning things around so he can get your property sold. It's not that there's something wrong with your house. You just need expert marketing and somebody who knows how to properly price your home. Jared Hokanson's more than 25 years' experience in leadership, sales, management, and training are all part of a proven track record, which combine to make him Medford's top and go-to industry expert. There's been a lot of uncertainty in the real estate world, but through it all, Jared Hokanson remains the agent you can trust. I trust Jared. You should, too. 541-772-SOLD. That's 541-772-7653. Or reach out to Jared through his website, 541-772-SOLD.com.
You need a furniture store that...
What's going on?
Landon, I'm doing a commercial for Garrison's Express.
You sound bored.
I mean...
Listen to your CFO.
CFO?
Chief Fun Officer.
Right.
Shopping here is fun.
You're right. Garrison's Express is fun. Awesome new furniture that you buy today and take home today. No stress, no hard decisions. Get on with your life. Easy peasy.
Cheddar cheesy.
Garrison's Express in Central Point.
Garrison's.fun.
.com. It's .com.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
And we will have a Diner 62 Real American Quiz a little bit later on in the program, probably between 8:30 and 9, I think. Great questions, as always. Brian ends up putting those together. All righty. Former state senator Herman Bertschinger on the program this morning. Herman, interesting times that we find ourselves in. A lot of the folks pretty... bound up here with what is going on with the passage of Senate Bill 1098. There's some other things going on politically that you wanted to make sure we were aware of in this legislative session here, including Senate Joint Resolution 30. And boy, this is one sneaking up on us, right?
Well, yeah, you know, 1089 is bad, but, you know, you can kind of, there's a positive side to it. It's just as it was pointed out, is to, you know, we can put Christian books in there, too. That's a protected class. So,
is Christian book, are Christian religion, books a protective class? Because, you know, normally, you know, religion, when it comes to the state of Oregon, doesn't tend to have a very high bar of protection, I thought.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good argument, though. The other thing, the biggest thing that's going to come out of this, and the Democrats, you know, they just aren't smart at times, most of the time, because all this does is promote private schools. That's what this does. This is one of the biggest promotion of private schools in a long time.
Yeah, if you care about your kids and you can, you get them out. And but yet at the same time, you want to try to save the other kids too, right? Making sure everybody has a decent decent time.
Yeah, but you also got to remember the president is talking about federal funds for schools to follow the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, I think us counties at the county level have got to start having a conversation over the tax dollars that goes to schools in the counties, which is the biggest tax. The biggest line item on your property tax bill is schools, and maybe that needs to follow the students too, Bill.
Maybe so.
Yes. So, you know, we have to start punching back. We can't just take it. You got to figure out a way to punch back. So Senate Joint Resolution 30 is what they want to do to that. So in Oregon, we have the initiative process. And actually, when the initiative process was debated in the legislature 100 years ago, that was the first time where there was denial of quorum, because they didn't want that to pass. They didn't want to legislate from the ballot. But
that is really interesting. So even the start of the initiative petition was contentious. Interesting.
Exactly.
Huh.
So this is another tool for the minority to use. Now, they took away the right to deny quorum. They took that away. That was a tool for the minority.
Well, it's still there, but you just have to be, if you're going to use it, you better negotiate to get it excused, right? You've talked about that before.
Right. So, you know, so now they want to take the other tool away for the minority, and they want to make it harder. They want to make it much more district. They want to increase the signature requirements by 30%. And then they want to create some kooky six Oregon districts, and that each district has to be looked at separately. So if you have a real conservative issue that you want to put on the ballot and you get five districts, you collect enough votes, but you can't get the votes in Multnomah County, well, then it kills it.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the initiative petition issue here. Yeah, the district part of things. Yeah, they really do like districts, just like the left wanted to have districts in the county, too. That's a divide and conquer strategy, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it makes it harder. So, you know, this the gun legislation that is bouncing around Oregon right now is very, very unpopular. And you have to remember, it only passed by not very many votes, Bill. 114 didn't have
a shade of support, and that is in an arguably, and they admit that the system is not perfect and flawed. We don't know how many of those votes were legit. We have no way of even examining it after the fact now.
Right. So because now it's gotten so much publicity, it's in the courts and everything, there's a good possibility that it could be repealed through the initiative petition. And I think that's what has risen SGR 30 in the legislature, because they're worried that we could undo 114 and some other gun laws all at the same time. You know, you can take up multiple issues as long as or multiple parts of an issue. It's all the same issue.
As long as it's related. It's all related to the same issue.
And we can and there is a good chance that we could repeal all that. Well, if the legislature pushes this through, that makes that almost unobtainable.
Now, Senate Joint Resolution 30, though, would be referring the initiative process to the voters, right? First.
Right.
And so it would be voters that would vote to get rid of the initiative petition, correct?
No, that's a resolution, yeah. I think they can vote this outright.
Oh?
They can change that, yes. So this is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, so the majority party doesn't want anybody disagreeing with them.
They're not referring it to the ballot.
Yeah, all right. Well, the part that has bothered me, I mean, I've had mixed emotions about the initiative petition, because most of the destruction in this state, or a lot of it, to me, has been coming through the initiative petition, because the initiative petitions tend to be funded mostly from one side, and that is out-of-state, big-money leftist interests. Am I wrong about that when you look at it?
Well, Measure 5 and Measure 50 were done through the initiative petition.
True, True.
Yeah.
But that was a while. That was a while ago. When I look at the, at things these days, it always seems to be a battle between George Soros and then the rest of us. You know, here in Southern Oregon. You know,
I don't argue. You know, when you look at all the money that came out of state, most of the money that supported Tina Kotek for governor came from out of the state.
Indeed, it did.
So,
indeed, it did. So, I mean, I understand they're trying to make sure that nobody can disagree, that the voters would not be allowed to disagree with them, and no legislating. That would be overall, though, we would lose a lot more than we gain. But, you know, you look at these initiative petitions that have been coming down, Herman, the one about, you know, we're going to have universal health care. We're going to do this. We're going to get a free pony. We're going to, you know, and they get voted in. And then now what do? Right. We've talked about that
before.
Well,
you know, it goes back to my point, you know, that I have made multiple times in my political career when people ask me, you know, what's the difference in parties. And I try to tell them, I said, overall, if you want to kind of capsulize it, is the Democrats or the liberals or the progressives or all of that have a tendency to make their decisions based on emotion.
Agreed.
And Republicans or conservatives, if you want, whatever you want to call them, have a tendency to make their decisions on facts.
Or pragmatism, really, I would dare say. What is pragmatic? What is actually workable? Because we know we're all flawed humans. There is no nirvana on earth here, okay?
You know, and I sat down last night and I just jotted down a few things. If you look across the political spectrum right now, the Democrats are just floundering. They have no party. The far left is just out screaming. That's all they're doing. They're not offering any types of solutions. I mean, and then when you focus more on Oregon is not business friendly. They don't care about businesses. They don't care about education reform. Or scores or anything. They don't care about education. They have no respect.
No, they don't care about education. They do care about teachers' unions.
Right, but they don't care about the kids. They support drug use. You look at why both our U.S. Senators, Wyden and Merkley, voted no on the fentanyl bill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't want to change that. They support, you know, illegal persons in our state. They support socialized medicine at the taxpayers' expense.
What you're doing is making the case that there is really no peaceful coexistence between the left and the right possible when you look at these worldviews here, Herman.
No, and then when you start looking, you know, their fiscal policies are ridiculous. They're just unworkable. And their social policies, I mean, you know, abortion, murder of babies, mutilation of children. They support violence in our cities, and they really they promote homeless. They don't want to. They really don't want. They don't want to fix homeless. They say they do, but they don't. And here's back to the fiscal. Oregon promotes the taxation on low income people.
The income tax is very regressive, isn't it?
Yes, very regressive. And then the one that's just. I just, you know, when I talk to my friends in other countries and everything, they ask me, why do the Democrats always want to go to war? And you look at it, you know, this thing with the Ukraine, it's the most stupid, ridiculous thing in the world.
And most of the places that I see with their little Ukraine signs out front, I know are leftists, most of them.
Right. And,
amazing.
And on some of the social media, you know, I try not to react to it, but sometimes I just can't. But I'll see the promotion of, you know, sending more money and stuff to Ukraine. And then I type in there, are you ready to send your kids and grandkids? And as soon as I put that not a peep out of them.
Maybe it's because most of the people that are supporting Ukraine, maybe they tend to be. Older liberals. Maybe that's why. Maybe they don't think they have a dog in that fight anymore, and they can go ahead and send somebody else's kid there.
I don't know, but anybody with that just will take a little bit of time to try to understand the power structure on this planet. you know, Ukraine's taking a knife to a gunfight. I mean, come on, the Soviet Union has the second largest arsenals of atomic weapons. Come on, this is insanity, you know? Absolutely insanity. And then, you know, they'll say, yeah, we got to support Ukraine to fight the Russians. And then the next sentence is, oh, Putin is unstable. So now you're fighting a guy that's unstable with nuclear weapons.
Well, I think that what you have illustrated right now is a gaslighting which continues, and it's practiced by both sides of the political aisle to an extent, Herman. Okay, I want to be fair about this, but it's just like, no wonder Americans are mentally ill and getting mentally iller. You know, it's like, you know, we're being told continually to believe two things at once, all sorts of contradictions that can't both be true. You know, everywhere you look.
You know, and I have a lot of friends across this planet. And so, you know, now that social media and everything, so they're zipping me little things through WhatsApp and everything and
yeah.
showing me what they're seeing in their country. And I'm just embarrassed. You know, there's little nippets of Democrats saying this and Democrats saying that. And they're going, what is going on with you people?
Yeah.
And
let's take it back to...
interesting time.
Yeah, indeed. Let's take it back to one thing I was wondering. You know, the homeless ruling that we had from Josephine County Circuit Court. And it was circuit court ruling that happened last Friday, right? The interesting part about this is that looking at Oregon law, the judge may have actually followed the law or maybe following the law. And I don't know if people understand just to the extent of how the state legislature ended up codifying that whole thing, that Boise decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals a number of years ago. The Supreme Court may have said, hey, we don't have to bother that. But Oregon said, we're going to go along with this. But then it also said that there is a reasonableness standards. And gosh, what does reasonable mean? You know, when you're talking about whether it's 90 homeless encampments or 150 tents in the homeless encampment, you know, who determines what is reasonable? And I guess, well, the judge determines what is reasonable in this case.
That's kind of like, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah,
you know?
So, yeah, exactly.
But it's on my list. They promote homelessness. They're not trying to solve the problem. They are using it in Josephine County and throughout the state is to divide conservatives and liberals. It's just as plain as a tail on a goat. It's just another tool to divide us. They historically, going back to the 60s, have used abortion to divide us. That has,
I don't think that's working as much today to that same extent. All right,
it doesn't work. In fact, I think they're losing that argument. You know, I just had a friend of mine; his daughter had a premature baby, 1 pound 13 ounces, just a little bitty booger, you know, and it's amazing. That even that little premature baby can recognize its mother's voice over anybody else's voice. Isn't that amazing, Bill?
Yeah, it is. I think also the abortion question was probably more divisive or more even scientifically divisible, if you want to put it that way. I don't know if divisible is the right term, but I think you follow along with me here. When, as an example, when my brother Jimmy ended up dying only after a day, he was at 6 months. Back in the 1960s, 6 months was a death sentence, right? You know, you just knew it, right?
Right.
It's just no way that you could keep very rare you could keep a kid alive from that. And now the age of viability is getting younger and younger. It's astounding. You just talked about it with this person you mentioned.
They're also losing the argument on racism. The United States is not racism isn't as big of a deal as it was 40 years ago, okay? It just isn't. They want to try. I'm not saying there isn't racist people out there. There's always somebody. But overall, You know, my generation, your generation, my kids' generation, they could care less on the color of a person.
But okay? What they don't want to be told is that you have to hire this person or be with this person, right, because of their color.
So since we're not racist, we don't care. Why should we make it a factor in anything?
I don't know.
Yeah. So they're coming up with these new arguments. And look at immigration's one, drug use is one, homeless is one.
These are new. In other words, these are new fulcrum points, or points of leverage. Then is how the left is looking at this in the power. The power,
yeah,
the battle for power.
They know they have to keep dividing to stay in power.
All right. Now, let me ask a question, though, about the group that I think helps keep some of the division going, and that would be the Oregon judiciary, okay?
And I would just say courts in general, not just Oregon.
Yeah, okay.
Look what's going on at the federal level, too.
Yeah, the same issues that we have with courts in Oregon are having the same problem at a national level, too. All right.
That's right.
And we know that the institutions were more or less turned over or brought under the boot of the left wing a long time ago. And courts are pretty much that way, too. Not all judges are this way. But the vast majority of judges are appointed by the governor. And we've only had left wing governors for a long, long time. So I'm not surprised that we have mostly a left wing judiciary. How do you fight that back in your view? Because most of the time when they come up for re-election, no one will challenge them because everybody knows the rule. You challenge that judge and you lose. You've screwed your client if you ever have to appear before that judge in the future.
Well, I will tell you there's a couple things that bother me. First thing that bothers me is that we refer to justices as liberal or conservative. Mm-hmm. They should be neither. They should be justices. Period.
I agree, but we know that's not the way it works in the real world, though.
Exactly, you're right. But that bothers me, though. Okay, so it's a referee at a basketball game. Mm-hmm. The referee shouldn't be for either team. Just follow the rules. So it bothers me, but you're right. In reality, we have conservative and liberal judges. So
just like President Trump fought to get some ostensibly conservatives. Well, other than the exception of, I think, of the John Roberts types and the Amy Coney Barretts, but I digress. But, you know, everybody knows that seems to be the last bastion of everybody dies for control of that right now. And maybe that's the sign of the broken downness of our Congress and our legislature. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, yeah, like I said, it bothers me that we talk about conservative and liberal judges. So mm-hmm. I think we should talk more about, you know, who is more astute and educated on the law than liberal or conservative, but whatever. So back to Oregon.
Yes.
Up until Kotek, it was that the senator of a district that had a judge opening, the governor would contact them and say, what is your recommendation for a judge in your district that's an open seat? And Governor Kitzhoffer did that with me, and Governor Brown did that with me.
Mm-hmm.
My problem as a senator was finding somebody to raise their hand.
Really?
Yes. That was the biggest problem, trying to find a replacement. And the people that did raise their hand, maybe in the purview of some people, were of liberal mind. So it was hard. But that courtesy has kind of gone away. I don't think Kotek follows that anymore. That was not by law. That was a courtesy, okay?
Is part of the challenge then that the conservative jurists or the conservative lawyers are making more in the private sector, and the pay is pretty poor as a judge.
Absolutely. And the workload.
Huh.
You got to remember that these circuit court judges, you know, they don't have anybody clerking for them. They have to do that themselves. So all the research and writing and, you know, looking at cases and all that. They don't have anybody really clerking for them.
But we end up getting liberal judges then, because they'll hold their hand up and they don't mind working cheaper because maybe they're more ideologically driven rather than what justice is all about. Could that be the issue we're dealing with here? In other words, we'll be part of the solution. We'll be part of the resistance. Does it go that deep, Herman, you think?
It could possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that, but it's possible.
Okay.
But the problem is that we don't have a broad selection, you know.
We don't have a good conservative bench here in Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, I look at my friend Mike McLean, you know, and he was appointed by Governor Brown to that position. And then he terminated it and went back to the private sector because the workload, the pay, and everything it's not there.
Yeah, but now Mike's voting for Democrat stuff too in the legislature.
I haven't had time to talk. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, talk with him and say just pull out the Herman Bertschiger, Mike. What are you thinking? You know, kind of.
Yeah, I thought you said you'd quit drinking, Mike. What,
yeah,
really? What's going on? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. There's certain things that could have happened with that, but I don't know. So I don't want to comment on it because I'd just be speculating.
All right, fair enough. But ultimately, though, just like at the national level with the judiciary, we're having challenges here. It's a longer term thing, but developing a conservative bench when there are openings would be helpful. That'd be something we could do, right?
Yes.
Or not.
Yes, we need some people to step up to the plate. I mean, there was times on appointments that we didn't have anybody even raise their hand, Democrat, Republican, anybody, for over a year.
I didn't realize it was that bad. And
yes.
And I appreciate you sharing a little bit of that insight on getting some of these judicial appointments in and being a little bit more than from one end of the ideological spectrum. Herman, thanks for...
And I'll be honest with you. I am a little bit, you know, when I talk to the DAs, when I talk to the judges, I understand that space a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little bit reluctant to be very critical because I do understand it's a lot of work. I didn't know for a long time they didn't have clerks. So when they, you know, when they're, especially on civil issues, you know, they've got to do all that research and look at prior cases and all of that stuff. They got to do that on their own. So they got to find time to do that. Plus, they got to find time to be in the courtroom.
All right. Didn't know that. Learn something every day. And that's why I talk with you, Herman. Okay?
Well, I appreciate that, Bill. And you have a great week.
You do your best in spite of the craziness around us. Okay? Be well.
All right. See you later.
Former State Senator Bertschiger. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer